I'm Trisha Helfer, and you are listening to After the Credits at row3.com.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits, and we are your hosts, Marina.
Colleen from 353 Review.
Dale from DigitalDoodles.com.
See how it changed that up a little bit today? Yeah. No, welcome.
We're going to freak our listeners out.
I know,
hey?
Oh my
God, it changed.
I hate change.
To all our, what is it, compulsive people out there, we apologize.
Yes, I'm sorry. I changed things up. It just sort of happened that way. Welcome, and we're going to be talking August preview today. Looking ahead to what's opening in August. Before we get started, a reminder to come on by Row 3 for all of your movie news and trailers and whatever else. I haven't plugged the Movie Club podcast in a while, so yeah, check that out. It's up, a new one. Not a lot of comments still, but hopefully the next one will be a bit better. And yeah, I think that's it. So let's get started with August 1st, because there's a lot to talk about. And opening August 1st, The Mummy, Tomb of the... oh, God, that's bad.
Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
This is actually the Mummy 4, but...
Well, I don't know. I didn't really count the Scorpion King as part of the
I don't think
franchise.
Anybody did. It does come in the box set when you buy it, though.
It did, yeah.
Yeah. We'll pretend that never happened.
It was that kind of mythos.
Well, no.
Let's not get too off topic, but it was okay for what it was.
I liked it. And it had should moments. Be bundled with the other ones, but no, this would be the third. But
we're talking about a Mummy franchise without Rachel Weisz. I'm in mourning a bit. I like Marina Bello. I mean, she's great.
Yeah.
Good actor, but we're talking about replacing a character, and I'm not sure how that's going to work. I think the only reason I'm going to go see this is on the strength of the other actors, quite honestly.
Brendan Fraser.
I'm a Michelle Yeoh fan.
Yeah.
Although I don't think she has a tremendously big part.
No, and I'm still not quite sure how she doesn't get top billing here, but whatever, that's technicalities, I guess.
I mean, I know that we're going to be in for some great action sequences. Yeah. That's really clear.
Yeah.
Hopefully the story keeps... Yeah, and Brendan Fraser has a way of carrying bad material.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah. Oh my God, the poor guy.
Brendan Fraser, I don't think there's really ever been a film he's come out in that I've been like, oh, I have to see.
Marking the past.
That was good and all, but I kind of like them all too, even if they're really bad.
I know.
Simply because it's Brendan Fraser.
What is that? He's got this reality distortion zone. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good point. Yeah. No, I like it. So, yeah, that's, you know.
He just seems like...
Yeah, big blockbuster.
He just seems like he's the everyone has a friend of a friend. That's the guy. You want him to come to your parties.
Also opening on the first, Swing Vote, starring Kevin Costner. And he's the man that's going to decide the election.
Wow. I just don't... I have no idea what to think of this. I mean, I'll wait for the buzz after it's opened.
I mean, it's got, like, you know, garbage written all over it. But, you know, Kelsey Grammer as one of the presidential candidates... That's ingenious casting right there. And I don't know. The very fact that Costner's putting up his own money to make this sort of has me curious.
You remember Mr. Brooks.
Yep.
That's the only reason Costner has any cred with me at all.
Well, I'm a Costner apologist, so.
Yeah, and you just watched Bull Durham, right?
I did. I saw it yesterday, which I'd never seen. I don't know how that ever happened.
I mean, I have to say, he's okay in a lot of his earlier work, but... In general, he's not a big draw for me, but looking at these trailers, I'm willing to give it enough of a benefit of a doubt to see what the buzz is. I'm not kind of crossing it off the list right away, but
not sold.
The trailers, like you say, the trailers just if that's the best material in the movie, well,
you're pulling at straws. But I don't know. Stanley Tucci is in there too. I don't know.
Some great names, yeah.
Yeah.
The trailer has me interested enough that when it comes out on DVD, I'd probably give it a rental. But I'm not going to pay full fare and deal with mouth breathers sitting beside me. Watch it.
The mouth breathers have been coming up a lot lately. I hear them on, like, it's funny because I think it was the Film Junk guys that talked about mouth breathers.
Well, you know what it is? Actually, well, for me anyway, the blockbuster time, you get fuller theaters. Like, a lot of the movies we normally see, you know, it's like there's no one sitting by us for, so you know, really five seats. It. Yeah.
It's true. It's so
damn, I want my private screening.
Yeah, it'll happen one day, I promise. Also opening on the 1st, I'm really actually quite looking forward to this. This is the Midnight Meat Train. I'm having a hard time talking today. I think it might be hangover still. But the only really reason to pay attention is based on a Clive Barker short story, which has me really interested. And the director, apparently, I'm going to massacre this because he's Japanese. I'll just say his last name, which I can actually read, Kitamura. But apparently he's made some, like, really good little movies. I haven't seen any of them, but I like the way this looks.
I'll read your review.
Oh, yeah, you're not a big horror fan, right?
All depending on circumstances. I'll probably see it if it comes local.
Yeah.
It's
not marked as a limited release. It looks like you might actually get a full release.
If it comes to one of the multiplexes in my neck of the woods, fine, but I'm not going to go all the way out to Vancouver for that.
Yeah, not coming into town for
There's a distance. I'm willing to travel like 20 Ks, not 60.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think it looks pretty decent. One that's opening in limited release, and I thought I'd mention just because it was a big winner at Sundance, is Frozen River. For a minute, I actually thought this was Canadian. For some reason, it sort of had this Canadiana vibe.
Sex and Snowshoes vibe, to quote a certain...
Yeah. I don't know. Just something about it sort of had that feeling. And then when the story surrounds a woman who's moving illegal immigrants from Quebec into New York City through a reservation, and I thought, okay, this has got to be Canadian. And it's not, which is kind of odd.
Well, that actually explains it. When I was looking at the trailer, it had a distinct non-Quebecois kind of feeling. And for it to be
too
placed there and sound so Anglo seemed really bizarre.
Yeah, it looks, I don't know, it looks, you know, fairly, you know, low budget. Done on a shoestring. But I don't know, the story sounds vaguely interesting. Yeah. And the fact that it's a winner at Sundance sort of has me curious, but
it didn't grab me, actually, the trailer. I haven't done any looking deeper in the story.
I'll wait till you see it and tell me I have to see it.
Well, I probably won't see it on the
big
screen.
I probably won't see it.
And also opening on the 1st, In Search of a Midnight Kiss, which I really dislike this title for some reason. I don't know why. But another, like, super low budget drama. This one looks like it might have potential.
Hoping that the trailer isn't all it's got. Because the trailer is pretty good, but it could very well be they edited the whole film down to get 2 minutes worth of cool, come check us out. So.
And it's about a guy who puts up an ad in, is it Craigslist that he puts the ad in?
Yes.
Yeah, looking for, you know, his perfect match. And the trailer looks like it could have potential, a good, like, romantic drama. But, like you said, unless they edited all the good stuff into the trailer, which is possible. Moving on to August 8th, and, oh my God, I can't believe this is here. Pineapple Express.
Okay, you're going to have to explain your excitement to me.
Yeah,
okay.
Me too.
I mean, this looks like the kind of movie I'm going to enjoy going to see. It's got all of the tick boxes checked off, but I don't know why people are going nuts.
Best trailer music ever. I'm sorry, you put MIA in the trailer. You got my attention. Two, it's David Gordon Green. If you've seen any of his other movies, this is totally unlike anything he's done. Like Snow Angels, which he released earlier this year. Totally, like, on the other end of the spectrum in comparison to this. Like, they're not even in the same league. So the fact that he's making a stoner comedy is a little head-scratching, to say the least. And it's James Franco. So there's my excitement in a nutshell.
James Franco is definitely on the list of pluses for it. But I just can't seem to get excited about this one either. It looks funny enough, but I don't know.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how they balance the comedy and the violence, because it does start out kind of Cheech and Chong in the 21st century. God, I'm dating myself.
No, but it's true.
Like you say, stoner film. But then it, from the trailer at least, looks like it's taking on a really serious kind of a tone, which is hard. I know that I'm going to date myself again, but Good Morning Vietnam.
Oh, another good movie.
Worked that way, where it started off as a complete comedy send up and suddenly got very serious. And
yeah,
and I personally found that a little bit disconcerting. I think it worked in the context of the movie, and we'll see what's going to happen with Pineapple Express. That's especially one of the things that's got me curious about the film.
Yeah, I'm like stoked.
I mean, yeah, you have Seth Rogen doing the old, you know, thing full of smoke.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the trailer, you have the windshield covered in blood.
Well, that's like one of the funniest bits in the trailer. It's like, just put your foot through. Oh, well. Just break the windshield.
And you're still doing the comedy, yeah.
And he's like, my foot is stuck. I mean, come on. That's okay. Classic.
Why would you kick through the steering wheel, too? It just boggles my mind.
This is the thing, right? I don't know.
Because you sell dope and you sample the product?
Yeah, maybe a little too much.
Just saying.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember being that stoned.
They're smoking that good BC bud, you know? Moving on to Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2. I really like the first one.
I still haven't seen the first one. I'm actually curious about it.
It's pretty good. I mean, it's a real, like, friend, girl, little girly movie, but it works. The performances are quite strong, stronger than you would expect from a movie like that. But it impressed me enough that I read the books, all of them. I think there's 4. And I was surprised, because this movie seems to... I think this might be the last one in the series, because they've sort of rolled up a couple of the stories from various books into one movie. I don't know. It has a little bit more going for it this time, because they've got, you know, 2 stars that are big on TV right now. What's
American
her name?
American Ferrera.
Yeah, and the other one, Blake Lively, who's on Gossip Girl. So, you know, they have more of a fan base now, and people sort of know who these actresses are.
Right.
Whereas they were nobodies when they did this the first time around.
Yeah, I think... Was it Tempest Bledsoe from Gilmore Girls?
She was about it.
One of the big names, yeah.
Yeah, she was the only big name. Yeah, they were all up-and-comers, right? Now it's sort of the other way around. Yeah. She's not doing anything else. But I don't know. It looks like it could be fun, sort of along the same lines. It's not going to be for everybody, but it's definitely going to appeal to its own demographic. Moving on to Hell Ride. I think this is Grindhouse goodness. starring and directed by Larry Bishop. I had to look this guy up. He's been in, like, because he looks like a biker. Like, you see him in the trailer and you're like, okay, this guy's a badass. And I mean, he seems to always play the badass. It looks like it could be hit or miss, but it looks like it could be a lot of fun. I don't know. What do you guys think? I know you weren't all that impressed.
I wasn't impressed with the trailer. It has potential, but I have a funny feeling, unless it comes out to my neck of the woods, which I'm not convinced this one is going to see the
I don't think it would open very
wide. I just can't see myself going out of the way for it. Unless, of course, I start hearing, like, massive raves about it, and, like, the comparison to, like, Grindhouse. If they start going, this is the next second coming of Grindhouse, I'll have to take the trip.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to be.
I don't think so either.
There was a visual shrug from Dale.
Actually, my favorite line in the whole trailer is, I think one of the guys is talking to Dennis Hopper, who plays some sort of sales guy, like guns and stuff, and they're like, what are you, a bike-to-bike salesman? I thought, okay, that's so lame, but I still laughed. Oh. Also opening on the 8th, The Perfect Game. I don't even really have anything to say other than blah.
It was baseball, right?
Yeah, it's the baseball movie.
No, I can't watch baseball films at all. I know I'll get flack because of, like, Bull Durham and that. I just can't. I can't even stomach Bad News Bears anymore. I just hate the game of baseball so much. So, well, I'll get lots of fans from the States now.
Oh, yeah, probably lots of hate mail.
Boringest game on earth. I'd rather watch croquet on television or possibly quilting online.
What about cricket?
Oh, I'd even watch that. I hate baseball.
quilting online? Like, how is that actually even possible?
A live webcam.
Oh, that's true.
There used to be a show called The Quilting Show on the yes, sort of like local thing.
I remember.
It was meditative. It was like watching Bob Ross paint a beautiful picture. I just couldn't look away.
But Bob Ross was cool.
I found it so relaxing because suddenly my brain completely grinded to a stop and all I was watching was someone cutting little rectangles out of fabric.
And how is baseball different?
Just more annoying. I don't know. Yeah, you know, something happened, and now we're going to talk for 10 minutes about stats because there's nothing else to talk about while grown men are scratching their groin. I don't know. I just don't get it.
Oh, wow.
Anyways, now that we've
I don't have a huge love for baseball, but I like it a little more than that. And this particular story is based on, you know, true events of Little League, the first non-American team to win the Little League World Championships.
So, yeah, it'll have its audience.
But it will, definitely, but not me.
My baseball experience, for what it's worth, is it's fun going to like the Triple C games where you can do the dog in the stand that isn't $20.
Yeah, and pretty much
eat your peanuts and gab with your neighbors. And
it's fun to play. I can't watch it to save my life.
Yeah,
it's like almost all sports. It's fun to play. Like playing road hockey was fun. I can't stomach hockey either. Although I'd rather watch. Crazy. I know. I'd rather watch hockey over
Baseball
any day of the week, though.
Okay, we'll leave baseball behind. Yes. Getting into ranting
one
territory.
Of the rants, yes.
Also opening on the 8th in limited release, Bottle Shock.
Now, this is one I'm actually looking forward to.
Yep.
This looked really good.
I agree. And I was telling Colleen, the more I see the trailer, the more I want to see it. Well, I don't know why.
Alan Rickman?
Yeah. Alan Rickman.
Dope moment. And it's based on a true story of the first time the American wineries in Napa Valley kind of broke through internationally in France.
Those wine snobs.
And it turns out Bottle Shock actually means something in wine terms.
He wrote it down.
Okay. I wrote it down, yeah. Temporary condition of wine characterized by muted or disjointed fruit flavors and often occurs after bottling or when wines are shaken in travel. It's more detailed, but that's the gist of it. So there you go. There's your trivia going into the movie. When you're standing in line trying to make conversation with a cute chick, you can...
Do you know what Bottle Shock means? That would get some people's attention. It should, certainly would get mine.
Yeah.
Somebody who knows what they're talking about. Holy crap.
The one thing about the trailer that has me a little bit cautious is some portions of the trailer make it look a little bit too rah-rah, over-the-top, kind of underdog succeeding against the long odds. And if that scene was kind of taken a bit out of context, then it'll be fine. If that's part of the tone of the movie, I'm not happy. Given some of the actors involved, I would actually be surprised. So
would I. Yeah, I agree with that.
But I go ahead.
I want to see it just because Alan Rickman, man.
Yeah, and he looks like he's playing.
He can do a baseball film.
He's playing a fun character.
Oh my god!
That quote. It's like, I'm not an asshole. I'm British, and you're not.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm still being a dick, and you don't even know it.
I want to plug, though. I actually got curious about the story just to see kind of the true and some of the backstories. And I found there's a really great podcast. They interviewed some of the actors at Sundance, Grape Radio. Grape Radio. It's a wine podcast.
I'll link
but
to it
they,
in the show notes.
They actually found someone who was at Sundance that did some interviews for them. And so they have Alan Rickman and Bill Pullman. And it's interesting. It's about 30 minutes long. It's if you're interested at all in the backstory, it's an interesting listen.
Okay. I'll link to it. So come on by. I'll send you in the right direction. And also opening on the 8th in limited release, I'm kind of excited to see this, actually. Elegy with Ben Kingsley and Penelope Cruz.
Yeah. When I first saw the description of this, I was just like, I'm not interested in another one of these stories. But having watched the trailer, yeah, Kingsley and Cruz look like there's some chemistry going on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's a really good, like, it looks like a really good adult drama, like with some adult themes of relationships and whatever else. But aside from the fact that you have Kingsley and Cruise together. The director is quite good too, and she's worked in Canada a lot. She's worked with Sarah Polley a fair bit in My Life Without Me and The Secret Life of Words, which are both really good, underrated little Canadian films. So I don't know. I thought this looked really good. I really want to see this. Hopefully it'll open wide enough that I get a chance.
Yeah, this is the same with Bottle Shock.
Yeah, that's it. It might be a few weeks before we get to see it up here. Moving on to August the 15th, and this is sort of like the beginning. This starts here. Star Wars The Clone Wars.
Does anyone care anymore?
That's all I got to say.
Yeah, next.
I don't.
Meh. But there's some good stuff in here, too. Tropic Thunder. I just don't even know where to start with this. It's between this and Pineapple Express. Can it get any better?
I've been reading some of the different commentary of the pure commentary and some of the people that have seen it. And yeah, I wouldn't have been keen on it before, but I just, some of the comments about the performances, like it sounds totally, something within something. God, I can't think of that word right now, but anyway,
meta?
Yeah, it's got a meta quality to it. Definitely.
Nice.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. I'll see it.
Portraying, in
black man.
Blackface.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I don't know. It looks pretty hysterical.
When the first stills came out on that, and recursive, before people started pointing them out, it's like, I wouldn't have caught the fact that it was Robert Downey until pointed out.
Yeah, you had a post on row three.
Yeah, because I
totally didn't spot him
it.
In the picture.
Well, you know, it was Ben Stiller movie. I like Ben Stiller. I'm not a huge fan. And I'm like, whatever. Some new movie with Ben Stiller, Jack Black's in it, and Robert Downey Jr. And they're like, can you spot Robert Downey Jr. in this picture? I'm like, well, there's Jack Black and there's a black guy and there's somebody else. So I don't see Robert Downey Jr. And I'm like, holy shit, the black guy is Robert Downey Jr. Okay, this has got my attention now.
Yeah, that
please go on.
That wasn't the biggest thing, but when they were talking, recursive was the word I was looking for. But when they were talking about they're doing a movie and the movie takes on the real life essence of things, and then some of the other comments thrown in there. Okay. I'm curious now.
Yeah, they've got my attention. I'll be there. Also opening on the 15th, Alejandro Aja. I think that's his name. I have no idea. I think he's a Spaniard. Mirrors. And, you know, I really was not all that impressed with the teaser trailer for this. But the Red Band trailer is really kind of creepy. And this is Kiefer Sutherland and Amy Smart and Ghosts in Mirrors. Go figure. But, yeah, I saw the trailer again the other day. And, you know, it might have a few moments. This might actually be pretty good.
Yeah. When I looked at the trailers, I'm with you. The trailers definitely bring that very, very creepy, scary quality out about the movie. So have fun. I'll read your review.
I'll be dragging the husband, I think.
I'll probably see that too. It looked interesting enough. The like you said, the teaser really didn't do anything, but the full trailer.
It's got some moments. And, you know, it's funny because Aja directed that The Hills Have Eyes remake, which, I mean, I didn't bother with. I thought, it's going to be shit. No, it's going to suck. Why remake a classic? And I did see it on DVD, and it was much better than I expected. It had some good, good, scary moments. So he impressed me with that. I haven't seen anything else of his, but definitely, definitely curious about that. Also opening, Woody Allen is back. Like 2 years in a row, he's back on track. I think Vicky Cristina Barcelona
with some of the usual cast of characters.
His new cast of characters. Scarlett Johansson. We've got some Penelope Cruz in there. Javier Bardem, and there's another woman, Rebecca Hall. And I don't know. I think it looks pretty good.
The trailer I saw anyway was just a whole bunch of people kissing, and I'm like, well, you know, I'm fine with people kissing, but we need some context here.
Oh, okay. So maybe you saw one of the early promo trailers.
Okay.
Because what it is Rebecca Hall and Scarlett Johansson are American, I think they're students and they're in Spain studying. And Scarlett Johansson falls in love with Javier Bardem. And he happens to be it almost seems like he's being stalked by his ex, which is Penelope Cruz. So there's some like weird three-way relationship thing going on there. Yeah. It's going to be pretty good.
Penelope Cruz is a stalker. I mean, if you said just that much, okay, yeah, I'm curious.
She looks like she loses it at one point in one of the trailers, and it's pretty good.
She was in the, okay, I'm not going to say his name, Almodóvar?
Yep.
Where the protective mother, mm-hmm. like that. She was really credible as yeah. someone capable of violence. And
yeah, she's a really good, strong actress. And I don't think she gets, I don't know, you know, she gets credit because, oh, you know, she's
not
beautiful.
I don't think in North America.
But no, I don't think she gets the critical acclaim that she probably deserves for her acting.
Her Spanish movies.
Way better.
You see, yeah, just a way better performance, a way better material to work with
That's
than you
what
do
it
in
is.
Her North
yeah.
American.
They sort of here, they sort of cast her as the pretty face. You know, she's got a bit of talent, yeah. but, well, you know, they don't give her a lot of...
Maybe not in this one?
Well, I think here. I think Woody Allen is working on a different level.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't been working out of the U.S. for a long time, right? So I think, you know, he's got a European sensibility when it comes to this. I think he always had. So that's just me. That's my take on it, at least. And also opening on the 15th, this one sort of surprised me. Henry Poole is here, starring Luke Wilson.
I'm interested in this one. It's another limited release, maybe not, but I was surprised the director of this guy, Mark Pendleton, did U2, 3D, and Arlington Road, of all things. And
yeah.
Now he's
which
doing,
is what I wrote down, because Arlington Road's a pretty good little thriller.
And now he's doing this, which is completely different again from...
Yep. I don't know. I was not impressed with the name of the title of the movie.
No,
I was like, eh.
I don't think that's a great title.
But the trailer
looks
really
hilarious.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I very much like Wilson. Mark Wilson?
Luke Wilson. Luke Wilson.
He's the good Wilson.
Yes, yes. it looked really good, funny at times kind of thing. It's like when he confronts the four old ladies
yeah.
standing beside his house, and yeah. I'm especially angry with you at this like 80-year-old.
So the premise of the film, for those that might not know, is he's a very pessimistic kind of fellow and has a very nosy, very religious next-door neighbor who sees Jesus on the side of his house, and word gets out.
And big time.
I think what sold it for me was when he takes the hose to the side of the house and is trying to wash it off.
And he's like, I made it worse.
His love interest, is like, he turns to her. Yeah, yeah. I think I made it worse. You think?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it looks like it has.
It has a
good potential.
The sensibility of it really caught me. At least the sensibility in the trailer. If the movie can deliver on that, I would be happy.
Agreed. Moving on, opening on August 22nd. Whenever I see the title of this movie, all I think of is Rock Me Sexy Jesus. I can't help
And this
myself.
Is from the director of The Full Monty.
Oh, dear.
What was that trailer in front of? Because I think I've only seen it once in the theater. And
it was probably some small independent movie that we've seen lately, but I can't remember which one.
I remember it started off going, oh, good God, this is going to be horrible. By the end, I'm going, oh, when does this open? I need to see this.
It's the Rock Me Sexy Jesus bit. Yeah, Steve Coogan is.
Oh, sorry. No, I thought you were talking about a different one. So this isn't by the director of The Full Monty.
No, I think it is. Hold on. Oh, no, it's not. I know what you're thinking of, because I wrote it down.
Because this one I'm not interested in at all.
Really?
Really. No.
Rock Me Sexy Jesus does nothing
no,
for
No, it
you?
Does nothing for me.
I think
this guy's
hysterical.
Like, he starts with the big loser L on his forehead, and it never leaves. And it just,
well, no,
I
and that's
never,
half the fun. No,
it just never caught me. The trailer just never caught me.
That's okay. Colleen and I'll go. So I think I'm going to be going to this by myself. Death Race. Paul the Hack Anderson.
They wrecked the premise.
I will see it.
No, they wrecked the campiness.
And I will be disgruntled.
Oh, you will see it.
Well, of course I'll see it.
I mean,
it's like
we might need to podcast immediately afterwards while Colleen is disgruntled.
Death, yeah, we haven't had a good rant in a week.
Yeah,
other than baseball. That's my rant for today. No, I dearly adore Death Race 2000. It's one of my favorite guilty pleasures of all time. The absolute worst fight sequence ever happens between Sylvester Stallone and David Carradine in the film.
Yes.
It's a work of art. Masterful, bizarre art.
It's true.
They would have been better off calling this a remake of Running Man.
Yeah.
Totally. Running Man
is the thing.
I said that after the film the other night.
If I'm going to see it, that's how I'm going to frame it in my head. It may be a good film. I mean, that's always the problem with these, right? You get pissed off because of the...
They make some.
In the end, it's a good film if you went in there without expectations.
That's
so
right.
If I can kind of get rid of the expectation... I mean, there's a good line. I mean, Joan Allen and...
Jason Statham.
Jason Statham, yeah.
Is it Oliver Platt that's in?
I think so.
Yeah.
Or is it the other dude that reminds me of Oliver Platt? It's one or the other.
I don't know. Well, but, you know, they've changed the story enough that it's a totally different movie, right? I mean,
yeah.
Really, it's a totally different
but
movie.
But when you say Death Race, I mean, the thing that people remember about the Death Race is the points for taking the people out.
It's iconic B-movie.
Which was politically incorrect back then, would be politically incorrect now.
But it looks like they've taken that out of
but
the story.
But it's gone, yeah.
So
it's just...
What's the point?
And they made them inmates, right? Which, you know,
exactly.
It's like, oh, well, we don't really care if we kill each other off.
If someone dies, oh, well, they were a rapist. Oh, well, they were a bank robber. And, you know, that was
the
joy
point
of the first one was...
it was a big mindfuck. I mean, and that's all gone.
Frankenstein driving over the nurses and doctors instead of the geriatric people, getting less points, but to show those doctors who's boss.
Yeah.
He ran over his own pit crew. Is that even allowed?
Well, there's nothing in the rule book.
Yeah. Also opening that weekend, we have the House Bunny. Oh, God. I wanted to like this. I did. Because I like Anna Faris. But this is just...
Yeah, it's kind of like Legally Blonde redone.
Films like this cheese me off because from what I've seen of the trailer, the girls that were in the sorority, you know what? It didn't seem like any of them were really damaged. They just weren't sort of atypical, sort of makeup wearing short skirt, I'm wearing heels, don't you like me now kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like that whole sort of thing, if you're not sort of a bunny, then you're not worthy. And what a load of crap.
Yeah, agreed. It's sending off way too many bad, bad messages. I mean, Anna Faris cleans up nice, which really impresses me, but that's no reason to make a movie. Sorry. Also opening that weekend, The Long Shots, directed by Fred Durst, probably the keenest thing here. I'm really not interested to see this. I want to see his first movie, which still hasn't come out. It played at Tribeca like last year, and I'm still waiting. And I won't. I'll skip this. And this is about a girl who has a really good throwing arm, so she joins the boys' football team.
Oh, okay. That went in one eyeball and out the ear when I watched.
Sports
when I was looking
film,
at that one.
I think I'll pass. Plus, just from watching the trailer, some of the quips that they're trying to get you to sort of remember were so forced is just sad.
They had that one good line about the ding-dongs, King Kongs.
I'm not letting her put her hands below my King Kongs. It's like, don't you mean ping-pongs? That wasn't a bad line.
I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Okay, we're picking up steam, I swear. August 22nd, The Rocker.
Yeah.
Rainn Wilson is a rock star.
Now, this is the one directed by the guy that did the Full Monty. Yeah.
Yes. Not interested.
You seriously?
Not interested.
Oh, I'm there. This looks hilarious.
I'm not a big fan of Rainn Wilson kind of thing. Like, I love The Office.
Holmes Skillet?
But, you know what? Take him out of that role. I just can't see myself liking the guy at all. And watching the trailer, it had some moments, but all I was thinking in my mind, couldn't they have found anyone else other than Rainn Wilson to do this? Couldn't they have found Luke Wilson? Come on. Let's find someone else with the name Wilson, okay? Like, I just didn't... I don't know. Rainn Wilson in this role, I might end up seeing it. I'll probably end up renting it is what will happen. But, I don't know, it's Rainn Wilson. Why do I want to see this? It's Rainn Wilson.
I wouldn't even rent
a dumb,
this.
Silly comedy without Will Ferrell in it, I'm there.
Yeah, and you know, for me, I wouldn't even rent it. It just has no appeal whatsoever.
Oh, there's enough. I mean, granted, I'm not going in there with really high expectations.
No, but you know what I mean. No, not for me. You'd have to pay me.
And I did mention it was by the director of the Full Monty, right?
And I really like the Full Monty, but...
I think I'll save the money for the Rock Me Sexy Jesus
Rock
film.
Rock Me Sexy
Jesus. Oh, God. I mean, how can you go to that one and then diss this one so badly?
It's Rainn Wilson.
Well, no, for me, it's not that it's Rainn Wilson. Just the story does nothing for me. Whereas a musical with a number called Rock Me Sexy Jesus is freaking hysterical.
Yeah, maybe I'm just in a different demographic.
Maybe.
No, the whole premise of the rocker kind of thing, like the super popular drummer kicked out of the band and now is brought into a high school band kind of thing, and they become famous. I don't know. I just doesn't do anything for me either. Plus, it's Rainn Wilson.
I mean, to be completely honest, Hamlet 2 doesn't sound all that much better. Like you said, you know, I mean, this guy's a drama teacher trying to do a sequel to Hamlet because he can't write anything else. I mean, it looks dumb as hell. But I don't know, the combination of that dance number.
Yeah, those are very always risky movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get into like trauma territory. Where,
and you know, I'm willing to sit through the, you know, maybe it's gonna suck, but with the hope that maybe it'll surprise, and I'm okay with that. Whereas, you know, ex drummer or whatever it's called, the rocker, sorry, just looks for me at least. Also opening on the 22nd, something for the kids, Fly Me to the Moon in 3D. I think, I'm not quite sure if this is going to work. It's about three houseflies nice. That get sent to the moon. It could be good. It could be bad. I don't know, but I think it's worth noting that it is being done by, I think their Belgian company that's trying to revolutionize 3D. So it'll be interesting to see whether this, you know, gets them in the door or not. Because, you know, they're a step down already, considering they're not an American company.
I hope it fails miserably and it puts a death nail to 3D.
Yeah.
Dream on.
Yeah, you know. Pretty much. I don't know.
For those of us who have visual sort of like motion, I hope 3D dies.
die, burn in hell. Okay, moving on. August 29th, because we needed another one of these crappy movies, disaster movie. And because it's so bad, they need two directors to try and put it together. I worked all that all day. Ta-da. That's me. No, from the same guys that did Date Movie. That's all I know. I didn't even watch the trailer. You couldn't pay me. No interest.
I concur, no interest.
A spoof movie solely for the purpose of spoof usually doesn't have that much appeal. A film that digs other sort of areas kind of thing, like the whole nudge, wink, kind of thing, that's fine. But to make a film solely so you can basically spoof on natural disasters. Oh, what next? Next one we're going to have a spoof on, I don't know, concentration camps. Like, we'll come up with a premise and we'll force a spoof out of it.
There is that trend, right, when something like that becomes popular. The bar starts to get lowered because to make the first one, you have to really prove it's a good concept.
Yeah.
But when three people have done a good job on it, then suddenly, we'll lower the bar because we've got three more scripts.
No, thanks. Plus, I'll be watching Vin Diesel kicking some serious ass in Babylon 80. I don't know. I'm there. I wouldn't even have to see the trailer to know I was going to see this. But I think it's actually quite interesting. I was looking at the director, Matthew Kasavitz's filmography. He directed Gothica, which by all accounts is really crappy. And I saw it. And it's not very good. But buried somewhere in there, there actually is a good movie that I think got like screwed by the distributor. I think they made him cut that movie a fair bit. And you can really see the markings of that. And I think that there's like an extended cut or something. Which, whatever I've rented, I have no idea. But I sort of rented it with that notion that maybe there was something hidden underneath. And I mean, it's still by no accounts any good. But you certainly see points where there's stuff that's obviously missing. And the script seems a bit too smart to have left that go to chance. So I'm kind of curious to see if he does any better this time around. And it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like they've made some major cuts to the movie for North American audiences. But I don't know. Vin Diesel kicking ass. That's all I need to know.
I like Vin. I'm not sure if he's enough to get me in. Well, no, let's face
Michelle
it.
Michelle Yeoh.
Well, okay.
If nothing else is going on, maybe in the theater, but chances are I'll be a rental.
Yeah, no.
It's like if you go and I can go, I'll go too, but...
Yeah. Also opening on the 29th, Traitor with Don Cheadle and Guy Pearce. That right there is all I need to see this.
I must have missed that one.
I think I did too, yeah.
Oh, really? Now I'll have to read this because I'm sort of confused on the plot here. Don Cheadle plays an FBI agent who apparently he goes into hiding or something and they think that he's one of the bad guys now. So they send Guy Pearce to track him down. You guys have seen the trailer,
The trailer, yeah. Actually, that trailer looked pretty good, but for whatever reason, it didn't stick in my head.
No, and it's the kind of movie that I actually thought was coming out much later in the year. I don't recall seeing anything or hearing anything about it until the trailer came out just a few weeks ago. So for some reason, I thought they were like, coming out October or something.
Publicity hasn't been doing their job.
No, I think they've been sort of asleep, which is really surprising considering, Don Cheadle is, I would think, a pretty big attraction. He has a very select fan following, but,
Too busy pumping money into the Dark Knight.
I guess. And finishing off the month, in probably not the best, I don't think I saw this trailer either. College, do we care?
I have no idea.
Oh, I did see this trailer. It's about three teenagers that go to their they go on one of those tours of a local college that they're for 3 days.
Oh.
You've seen the trailer. I think it was attached to the front of something. It just did not look very appealing.
Yeah, it's all about going in underage and getting drunk and trying to get laid.
College girls.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's your one note joke,
vaguely
college
rings
girls.
A bell.
Yeah.
Or high school students.
The premise has been
girls.
Done so many times that I'm... Yeah.
Well...
It didn't reach out enough to grab me and go, okay, I'm going to watch this one.
I think there's always room for another one of those, but I don't think this one's going to live up to it.
There's always room for Jell-O.
Yes.
Pretty much, right? Always room, but is it memorable?
Yeah, is it worth me paying $11 in travel time?
Yeah, I don't think this one is going to live up to that.
I don't think so either, which is, no big deal. Other stuff to see.
If it keeps kids out of the good movies, I'm all for it.
I agree 100%.
Actually, Dark Knight did that very well. Everyone keeps on going back to Dark Knight. All the other theaters are empty. It's great. No more mouth breathers beside me.
Yeah, it was interesting going to see The X-Files. We went Friday night, and we went to a late show. There was still a lineup for The Dark Knight for a 10:45 show. And we thought, I don't think there'll be a lineup, but we thought it would be busier for The X-Files. They have it in one... We went out to Coquitlam. It's playing on one screen, the smallest theater in the entire building. So you have to wade through 20 screens to number 16, all the way in the back corner. And we got there about an hour beforehand. We thought it would be busier, okay? So kill an hour. Not easy. Not easy when it's so dark in there. But it actually did fill up, which surprised me little bit.
Opening weekend.
This won't be too surprising, but I went and saw Mamma Mia on the Tuesday after the opening. And it wasn't quite a full house, but it was a packed theater.
Yeah, me too. I went the week after it opened and the same thing.
Yeah, and there were definitely that was sold out. We weren't going to Dark Knight, so I couldn't tell you how sold out it was, but the signboard when we were looking for our movie had sold out flashing for Dark Knight.
But it's funny, when I went to see Mamma Mia, I got the distinct sense that the people that were there were not we didn't get to watch Dark Knight.
No,
they were there to see Mamma Mia.
I knew for sure the people were there to see the movie.
Yeah.
When the credits started to roll, nobody got up.
Yeah.
They all knew to stay for a little bit longer.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, that closing scene. Oh, my God.
You Did you actually expect the sold-out people from Dark Knight would go to Mamma Mia when they're still...
No.
Like, Hancock but, even a second time.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Different demographic.
But, I mean, even the X-Files, like, there was a... You could tell there were a few people that maybe were cast-offs from a Dark Knight screening. But for the most part, everybody was there because they wanted to be there. And goddammit, if you go to see the movie during the week, stay through the credits. Because apparently there's an Easter egg that I missed. Because the husband started to get all antsy because it was so late when we finished. So we left halfway through the credits. And apparently there's something hidden back there, which I'm very angry
that bad hubby, bad
very
hubby.
Bad. I got, you know, and the funny thing is I said to him, you know, we're going to leave and I know there's going to be something at the end. Lo and behold, I walk away and... But, you know, whatever.
So August, yeah.
Well, August is looking good.
Pretty decent month.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in there. I was actually quite surprised that there's that many films in August. It seems a lot more crowded than July was. But none of them are quite to the, you know, I don't think any of them are expected to make quite as much money as any of the movies that this month did.
Not anymore.
No.
I don't think I'll see nearly as many films this August than I did this last month. This last month and even in the next couple days is going to be just nuts for me for film.
Yeah, I've got a pretty booked schedule for the next couple of weeks. So I think that that's a good indication that we're getting into more of a dramatic portion of the year.
I need to save my money for A, TAD, and B, the Vancouver Film Fest. I can't watch all the crap I'd normally watch.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how we're going to do VIF. Actually, but
I need to sell my Tudor trailer on a flatbed.
Oh, okay, you want to plug your... you never know, there might be somebody listening that's
anyone
interested.
Anyone in the greater Vancouver area looking for a Tudor house that folds down kind of thing to a travel trailer... Let me know.
We'll link to the pictures on Flickr. No,
oh,
we're just...
God.
The workmanship is stellar. And I think that's probably it. We rambled off sort of enough, eh?
I think we got a rambling quotient in there, yes.
Yeah, I blame it on the booze. I really do. It's been a long time
I blame
time
it
since...
on lack of... No, I had lots of sleep.
You had lots of sleep.
Eye strain. Massive eye strain. Eye strain.
I blame it just because we're all chatty Cathy's.
Pretty much. That, too. It helps. Okay.
Colleen, you just can't shut her up.
No. It's
no,
true.
I don't think Colleen is the problem, to be completely honest. But that's just me. Okay. So that's it. Come on by row three. Make sure to go over by 353 Haiku. Colleen has got up a lot of stuff in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I participated in the 24-hour Vancouver blogathon.
Now, that's what we should be plugging is, donate on behalf of Colleen.
Exactly.
Good cause.
Yeah, so for 24 hours, every half hour, I did a film-related blog post. And most of them are now off the main site, main page, because they're long since gone, because I think it will only maximum show 15 posts. So in the top, there's an actual button for 24 hours blogathon. You can go there and check out any of the reviews and top five lists and other miscellaneous poetry on film.
I'm most impressed. Poetry on film, I like that.
I think it might be taken.
Oh, damn.
It's a web name.
I'm actually most impressed by the concrete on Cube.
Yeah, I did one concrete poem, which is where the words actually form a picture. And I think it might be the only one I ever do because it just took way too much time and effort on my behalf.
But it looks really spectacular.
Yeah.
But and the fact that it's on Cube, double thumbs up. Okay, but we're rambling again. Oh, dear God. Okay, so we're done. Until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore.